was like the whole RKO from out of nowhere. Trey's arm gets broke out of nowhere.
This motherfucker don't shower. Well, I do. I'm just not very good at it.
You ever take a piss in a trough?
A trough.
They don't have like, they're not actual urinals, but just like everybody lines up to take a piss, and it's just one organism pisses in.
Yeah.
It's the last time you pissed in one of those.
I mean, I know what you're talking about. Do not recall when the last time was. But I definitely do know what your, I think you guys, that's your bathroom over there, right? Or am
I tripping? No, there's urinals in there, but there's a, there used to be a trough at the fairgrounds, I remember. I don't know if there still is one, but yeah. That used to be the worst. If you had to pee at the fair and you were a child, you would just be pissing next to a bunch of cowboys with their fucking hogs out, and you were just a little boy. And you were just pissing right next to them in the same trough. And I can't believe that that was ever just proper piss etiquette, that you would just pee in a trough. Because it's like, you can't flush that. So imagine being a janitor in like the 1980s and you're just cleaning troughs.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why they do that. You think it's to save money?
That has to be
the rationale behind it.
If you are using a trough in your public bathroom to save money, your business is going
under regardless. That's what I have to say. Because
that is not the right way you can say you should save money. Yeah. Because that is just disgusting. Gross.
Here's our SpongeBob reference for the podcast. Mr. Krabs definitely had a trough.
Oh yeah, Mr. Krabs definitely had a trough. But regardless, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 15, I think, or 16. I should never say the episode number before the Trey and Treve show, but welcome to another episode of the Trey and Treve show.
I've been talking to two of our biggest critics on the Trey and Treve show, although shout out to Shane, he always...
I thought that was one of them.
Always texting us, saying great show and everything, and we appreciate it, but... Mom and Dad were not too fond of our last episode, Tree, but I don't know if we want to upset our loyal fans, and then we'll only have 5 left.
Well, you know, I mean, between 30 and 70 listeners right now, which is not a terrible, terrible place to be, but I can imagine why Mom and Dad, given that they are Mom and Dad, don't particularly enjoy when we talk about wiping ass.
And pubes.
But, I mean, on TikTok, they do well. Those clips do well. Your third nipple clip does well. And I think that they're funny. And I think that it's good content. It's what we're going for, I think.
Free the nipple.
This episode, I don't really have a whole lot of shit talk or pube talk lined up. So if you come here for the toilet humor and the pubes, unfortunately I don't got a lot of that, but I thought we could do some stories and, you know, just kind of go over some story time stuff and just kind of just talk through some of our old school stories. And today's topic is sports that we played growing up and sports that we did growing up, mainly wrestling and football. Me and Trey both played football. And Trey played tackle football all the way up to 8th grade.
Yep.
And he broke his arm. And you would think that Trey broke his arm playing a rough and tough tackle football game, getting into the trenches. But no, Trey broke his arm in flag football. How the hell do you break your arm playing flag football, Trey?
Well, it's been however many years since that incident took place, and to be honest with you, Trebe, I always ask myself the same question. From what I remember, it was after practice, and, you know, after practice, kids, especially at that age, You know, they're roughhousing each other. You know, they're doing all sorts of, you know, immature physical shit. And out of nowhere, it was like the whole RKO from out of nowhere. Trey's arm gets fucking broke out of nowhere. Fucking guy. I to this day, I don't even know the fucking kid's name.
Otherwise, you would have rolled up on him by now.
Never. I mean, I
earned the favor. You would have got your lick back by now.
I mean, I've seen him like around in school, but never once has he came by to apologize.
That's fucked up.
And it's like, if I damn near break someone's arm, I'm going to apologize to them.
And he didn't even damn near break your arm. He full on, full fledged broke your arm.
And I don't even know. So like, came up from behind. Pause. Came up from behind me. Tackles me. I don't know if I landed on it or what, but yeah, broke my arm.
So it was like a come from behind, come inside, come around. Either way, there was come, and he was doing the coming, and it was on you, and you weren't expecting it. This was an unexpected come shot.
An unexpected come shot in flag football.
As an adult and as a teenager, I think you kind of, you escaped getting hurt, and you escaped, you know, injuries for the most part. But when you were a child, you were kind of you were struggling a little bit. I also remember, obviously, you got your tonsils taken out. We woke up one day, and he must have tried to push his limit to 11 or something, because he was throwing up in the sink, just coughing up blood. And it was at that point where he figured out that 10 was the limit. You know, how is that how he ended up throwing up blood?
Man, yeah. No, it was like you said, and you know, the last one, it did something. It ripped the fucking stitches, which caused me to throw up blood, and I almost died, probably. You know, people say it's like, oh, you get your tonsils taken out, and you can eat all the ice cream, and it's like, when you get your tonsils out, you don't even want to eat anything. Like the
feeling, except you, dick.
The feeling you have in your throat is fucking discomfortable.
The only thing that can soothe the back of your throat is semen.
Warm semen.
Yeah, warm semen. Something they suggest cold ice cream, but warm semen's the only thing that can do the trick.
Or if you got any semen that's been laying around in the freezer.
Yeah, frozen semen. I remember when you were throwing up blood. I was scared about that. I remember. Yeah. Super scared about that. But you ended up being okay. And yeah, well, do you remember that at all? You have a terrible memory, so you probably don't remember your feelings when you were throwing up blood in the kitchen.
Yeah, I remember throwing up blood in the kitchen, probably shit myself a little bit.
Yeah, was there any blood in the stool?
A little bit of blood in the stool. I still have blood in the stool.
That's from all the Taco Bell you eat.
That and other activities.
Yeah, that and all the people coming from behind.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, I was, you know, throwing up in the sink, you know, saw blood. And to be honest, like, because if that would have happened, and that's why I always say, you know, when you're younger, you're more strong than you are when you're an adult. Because, I mean, if that were to happen now, and I started coughing up blood, I would be fucking panicked. But at the time, I didn't know what was going on. All I knew was I was hurting.
No, but when I played football, I only sustained minor injuries playing football. I had like a little, like, lingering ankle problem at times. But most of my injuries came from mental stuff and came from people hurting my feelings. Like Trey right now, how he's on his phone, he's not even interested in what I have to say. But no, yeah, it was mostly mental strain for me. In sixth grade, I played football, got a lot of playing time, played both ways. And I don't know why my mom told me this. I honestly, like, if a coach told me this about my kid, I would never have told him this. But she told me this. The coach said, you know, Trevin, he's just one of those kids. A lot of heart, not a lot of talent.
Yeah.
That is such, and like, to be a grown man and to say that about a sixth grade football player, very fucked up. You know, that's something that still gets me to this day. When I was playing football one time in ninth grade, we're in Idaho, and I got like really chippy one time. In ninth grade, I played both ways, and we had like, and that's not really impressive. Because, like, the team... Like,
Travis Hunter, eat your heart out.
Yeah, there's like, 19 kids on the team. So, like, I mean, I had really no other option. Like, I had to play both ways. And we played post-falls. And I was blocking this kid the whole time. And I'll be honest with you, I was holding pretty much the whole game. But if you are a high school or a middle school referee... And you call holding, you are the biggest piece of shit that yeah, there is. That there is. Because you talk about the NFL, you can call holding every play. You could call holding on every single player on the offensive line, every single play in that kind of football. And I was blocking this kid, and he was complaining to the refs the whole time. And I was kind of going back and forth with him, like, get by me then. Stop it. And I was straight up tackling this kid. And not an area holding call was made. And I was literally, I'd wrap my arm around him and just throw him to the ground. And this kid was getting fed up, dude. Like, like every time he'd run into me, dude, it's like a, you know, like when you get like so angry as like a little kid, like your face gets red and you're like, like he was doing that. Like he was, it was a crazy guy. And like, and like, because I knew the ref wasn't gonna call it, I just kept doing it. Like it would be a pass play. I'd get my pass set. I'd go, and I wouldn't even try to engage like this. I would just go like this, hook him, and just throw him to the ground like that. And one play, I did that, hooked him, threw him to the ground, and I laid on top of him, and he's squirming like a dead fish. I'm like on top of him, like I just got done noodling. Like, I just got done catching a big old catfish. I'm just laying on top of him. And he's like, get off of me. Get off of me, you stupid. And he called me the N-word. Really? Three different times. He called me the N-word in that point. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm the most translucent person in the world. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not black. And he's like, I know. But you're still up. He called me that again.
I think I remember because Dad would always film the games and stuff, and I vaguely remember like he was laughing.
Yeah.
Like watching it because it was like so obvious that you were holding him.
I don't know what it was, but it was like ninth grade, 10th grade, senior year. They had this vision for it. Well, senior year up until I got the spot playing as a rotational defensive end. They had this vision for me that I was going to be like an offensive lineman. I was built way more like a defensive end. Yeah. And they wanted me to play guard too. And since I was still kind of like skinny sort of lineman, they had this vision that I would be like a fast pulling guard. But for being the size I was, I moved like molasses. like I was not fast. Yeah. I remember we did 40s, and I ran like a 5.6, and that was one of the slowest 40s on the team. Like I was not fast at all, and they just kept thinking, Pix, he's like 180, he's probably pretty fast.
Yeah.
I wasn't, and like they never was, but they always just had that vision for me. And every time I'd play O-line, I would hold all the time. Yeah. Every time, but I would not move my feet at all. I would just hug the man across from me and just pray and hope that I would like just stop them from getting a sack. There was just no way, dude. I didn't get into a fight this game, but I remember JV sophomore year, we had a pretty stacked JV team, and
JV is lit.
And we had a lot of good kids, and I started on the O-line, as a sophomore, didn't play any defense, only played offensive line. Held every single play, but still got to play. And I remember we we're playing this team from Coeur d'Alene, which is the, you know, the big school, the team that you always want to beat.
The white school.
Yeah, the white school, the athletic whites. So, you know, you wanted to take them down. And we took them down to the wire. And I remember the last play of the game, we decided it was like a 4-point game, 20 yards to the end zone. And you know what we play? What play we called?
Hail Mary.
A halfback pass.
Yeah, for the game.
For the game. And it was like a 40-yard... in all of my years of watching football, playing football, worst play call in the history of football.
Who was the offensive coordinator?
I don't know if we had an offensive coordinator or if it was just the coach. But the coach would make sense. There's sometimes he'd come to practice and I would think he was drunk. But like, I don't know for sure. Can't say that. But, you know, he called a halfback pass and it fell way short. It got intercepted, and the guy that intercepted it looked like he was fielding a punt. And I remember he got it, and then, there was, a little scrum there. And then one of our offensive linemen, who was, actually legitimately fast, ran, 40 yards down the field and just started wailing on the kid. Straight up, there's a video of it, and he's throwing punches at him. And, we get into a whole scuffle, and that was, my first ever football fight. And I remember Dad posted it on Facebook, and he didn't – her mom didn't want, her voice or her commentary on it. So he put, an AC/DC song over it. So it's wada, 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 wada. Wada, 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 game over. Sophomore fight. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything. But you know what I mean.
Should have had you remember that one meme where it's run, and then it's da-da-da-da.
I don't know if that was around back then, but yeah, it was, that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was a classic. So, I mean, when he attempted that, was he open, at least, if he had the arm strength? Oh, yeah. So everyone was, back there. Yeah.
He just hucked it up. He prayed. Yeah. It was a huck and pray, is what it was. And, that kid just went down there and started wailing on him.
Because he was pissed. He was probably, the coach probably caused that.
Yeah.
Because he's like, why is my coach so fucking stupid? Yeah. Fuck.
I was so perplexed at the time. And I remember I ran down there. And I was like, well, if everybody else is going to fight, I'm going to get in there.
Yeah, I'm going to get my hits in. Yeah. Fuck it.
And I went down there. And I remember the only two people I saw were 6'5" Samoans. And I'm like, well,
no one.
I'm not going to fight Roman Reigns and Yokozuna right now. Where the hell is freaking James Ellsworth and Mikey Whiprack? Where are all these, where are the skinny whites? Give me somebody I could take down. So I remember it was a mosh pit at a concert. I just found two people that I could just kind of push. And I just pushed them. And I was and I got my hits in that way. But... you know, wish I did a little bit more. Another two stories for football that I had on there. We had this thing in 7th and 8th grade called fifth quarter, which is where kids that were second and third string got to play, so Trey got a lot of reps.
Where I made my living.
That's where he made his bread.
I made my bones.
That's where he made his bones. Trey played center, which makes sense. Trey playing center was funny to watch, because the snap would happen, and I swear to you, you could, there was a lot of things you could do by the time Trey snapped the ball and engaged in his block. Like it took him, he would look down, snap the ball. Oh, he's already by me.
I'll get him next time.
Yeah, your snaps were fine, but you would not engage very often, you know.
Yeah, well, I also wouldn't make any of the fucking line calls or tell people, hey, huddle up, or anything like that.
Would they get mad at you for that?
Maybe. But I was awkward back then, so they probably gave me a pass.
Yeah, but I remember, because at least, you know, in the fifth quarter, if you started in fifth quarter, you were at least you know, if somebody went down in the game, you were next up. You started in the fifth quarter. So, you know, you got your bones.
Yeah, I made a few tackles. I really like I like playing nose tackle. That was my position.
Yeah,
made a few tackles, got a few sacks. You know, I was the penetrator, the space eater, the Vince Wilfork in there.
Makes sense. You were the penetrator.
Yeah.
That just makes sense. I remember, we go to your games, and I remember, we'd watch you in the fifth quarter. You'd do something. You'd make, one or two plays, which was cool to watch. But then I remember there was this kid on your team, and he was, a running back, and Dad loved watching him play, and he would only talk about him. And it was like he only came to the game to watch him and not you. It's like, man, that kid's good. I mean, you see the way he runs the ball. But I remember he was a dog.
He was good. Him and I haven't seen him in a while. I don't feel like I've seen him since fucking middle school.
But I remember my best thing in fifth quarter. I played fifth quarter just in seventh grade. I started in eighth grade. Got my first start in eighth grade. Started sixth grade. You know, I like how I'm just talking about this like I was cool. But seventh grade, I didn't get to start. I started two games in seventh grade. And it was because we had a defensive end who's kind of like that kid on your football team that we were talking about earlier. Huge degenerate. Had terrible grades. And he had just, bad grades, and, I got to start one time in replace of him because he was failing, art.
Okay, well, that was going to be my next question, because I only played football up until eighth grade, but you played all throughout high school. Yeah. So, all the stories you hear about, and it might be different because it's in Idaho, no one really good, but did they give, the star players, more leeway? At school and stuff, or
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I didn't really see that too much, to be honest with you. I mean, maybe if your teacher was a coach and it was a player,
nothing crazy.
But I mean, all the football coaches' classes were all so easy.
Yeah,
they were all either weightlifting classes or history classes where you watched videos all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were difficult classes to begin with. But in seventh grade, this is still, I think, my favorite game I ever played. I played in the fifth quarter, and I think this is how I got my start. I played D-tackle, not D-end, but I played D-tackle.
Yeah.
And I got a sack on every single play.
Oh, you were ripping it.
And I just remember that I was getting blocked by this kid, and he was not good at all. And I would hop over the line, sack the kid, hop over the line, sack the kid, sack the kid. And then that same guy... that I would beat every time, ended up starting the next year, and I was playing DN, and I got, five sacks the next year in, eighth grade when we played that team. It was the other team in Lewiston. So it was awesome. And then me and that kid ended up being pretty good friends in high school, and I would always tell him, I'm like, you remember when I just beat your ass all the time? And he's like, that never happened. I'm like, I have it on videotape, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know for a fact it happened because my dad recorded every single game. So I know it happened, and it was hilarious. Any football stories you got that you want to share?
Well, the one football story, and I'm pretty sure once I start talking about it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And it was funny because I was literally just thinking about this today. For some unbeknownst reason, I was thinking about this. The fucking, the one football game where the fucking the referees in that game were 80 years old.
Give me more context.
So you had these refs that were old as shit, and I think this was in high school. I think Cameron was on the team at this point.
Uh-huh.
And it was in Coeur d'Alene, and they're old as shit, and it's every time they called a pass they would sound like a fucking 80-year-old. And you said Cameron said that because I was in driver's ed with him the next day, and he said that all the refs would do in that game was look at their shoes the whole time.
Yeah, I don't remember that specifically,
yeah.
But I do remember having some old refs, and I was, and when you are in high school, you kind of are like, man, these refs freaking suck,
yeah.
But honestly, you should put some respect on high school referees' names.
Not like they're getting paid for it.
No, they're doing, you talk about people that are doing it strictly for the love of the game.
Yeah.
There's nobody that does it more for the love of the game than dads that coach, flag football and little kid sports, and high school referees.
Facts.
Nobody does it more for the love of the game. And if you are a high school kid and you're like, this game was bullshit, there was like 10 missed pass interference calls and fucking all these holding calls, you can call pass interference and holding on all you fuckers all the time. You guys, your guys' technique is so dog shit.
Yeah.
High school football is so atrocious to watch. It's so bad. The competition gap is so vast. Like, until you get to, like, the state tournament, and even then, like, the first couple rounds, like, the competition level is so different. Like, there is so much separating the good teams and everybody else. Like, until you get to that state championship game, where, like, the two teams are actually, like, okay, these are the two best in the state, like, there's only blowouts. And you are not, like, a pass interference call, a holding call, that's not going to win you the game.
Yeah.
That's not going to decide the game. You're just not good enough.
Yeah.
You are simply not good enough. I remember we played Rocky Mountain in the state playoffs both times. And one of the years, our football team was supposed to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. We were supposed to be so good. We had all the pieces. And to be fair, I mean, you look at that team and you look at the athletes we had. I mean, a lot of those kids went to play for, like, in the next level on some sport or another. I mean, our quarterback was a D1 quarterback. Our top receiver / running back played for the top NAIA baseball team in the country, and they won 3 national championships. Another kid played D1 basketball, or NAIA basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said D1, but he played good. You know, and just, like, we had, like, a ton of talent on that football team. Because no matter how many NAIA-level dudes you have, you're not getting past one dude that's going to make the NFL. They had
a guy that made the NFL.
Yeah.
As a practice squad guy, or...
No, he's still in the league right now. Look, Google him. His name's Tommy Togiai. He was a third-round pick from the Browns, and he,
How do you spell it?
Tommy and then Togiai, I think it's Togai. And actually, now that I'm saying this, he might have not played for Rocky Mountain. I think he actually played for Highland, who we beat, actually. So actually, I retract what I said about the NFL thing, but they just had way more size than us, and we couldn't keep up with them physically offensively, or on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And they had a running back who played for Idaho for years, who I covered. But no, we did play one guy who made the NFL. He was a third-round pick for the Browns, and he played for Highland High School in Pocatello. His name was Tommy Togiai, and I remember we had, like, a whole game plan centered on just, like, stopping him. They ran, like, a 3-4, and it was like, we are gonna only have our tackles on an island, and we are going to just get as much protection as we can on Tommy Togiai because he is a difference maker. He went to Ohio State. Like, he was a... Like, that. He's the best athlete.
Oh, yeah.
From
Pocatello High School.
Oh, I think it was Highland, but...
He was a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
What did he play, offense and defense, or what?
No, he played defense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this is... I messed it up. He didn't go to Rocky Mountain, but he went to Highland, who we actually played week one of our undefeated campaign... And we beat him.
Yeah.
But he was the best athlete that I played in high school sports. I also wrestled a kid named, and we'll get into a little bit of wrestling stories. Mm-hmm. I wrestled a kid named Seth McLeod, who I believe was either a national champion wrestler or he got on the podium. But he wrestled for Post Falls. And I wrestled him, and it was my second ever varsity match, and he kicked the shit out of me. But I blocked an NFL defensive lineman, and I also went up against a guy who...
You said Seth McLeod?
Yeah.
Is that the kid?
Yeah, yeah.
He went to Oregon State? Yeah.
Yeah, that's where... And we had a kid from Lewiston go to Oregon State for a bit, too. But I wrestled him, and he was really good, too. So I, you know, two really good pro athlete stories that I went up against.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a very, very good ramble by Treeb there. Well, it wasn't a ramble. It was very good insight. But I do remember, like, going back to the whole refs thing is you were, like, cussing or whatever, and the ref was like, hey, stop cussing. You're like, fuck you, it's football, not church. Do you remember that?
No, but it sounds like
sounds like something you'd say, yeah.
Like something an angsty Treeb would say, yeah. For sure. Yeah, man. And the topic being sports, hopefully we got some good football content out of that.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, and then it's like, going back to the whole ref thing, but because it was funny because when me and Dad were going back home or whatever, we stopped by the refs and the refs were saying, yeah, man, they were running hurry up. We had to try to tell them to slow down.
Oh, I do remember this game actually now. Yeah. Because I think they threw a flag one time when we were, like, running our hurry-up offense to, like, slow us down. And, like, literally they said, slow down. like,
and then there was something else, like, with the kickoff thing about how you guys kicked off and then they still got the ball at the second half or something.
Oh, my God. this brings back so much memories. Yes. Yeah. What game was this? I think that was the Lake City game that I was talking about where we got into the fight. I think it was this game. Yeah, they were old refs, and we kicked off to start the second half, and we were preparing to return the kick, as you do, as every football fan knows. And they were like, no, you're kicking off. And then we said, why? And he said, because you guys said that you were... you guys said that you were, like, kicking instead of deferring to the second half. Like, it was some, like, kind of, like, whack Reddit shit where, like, some guy was like, actually, you needed to word it like this. Like, that's your job as an official to be like, especially at that level, JV football. You have those captains out there, and they say something, and they word it a little differently. Mm-hmm. Or at least just know what they're talking about. You know what they mean. Yeah. I remember that. That's good. That's a good pull.
And, But it was just funny because you imagine in the fucking NFL, it's like 2 minutes left, running out of time, 30 seconds left, and then there's like an old referee that's just pacing down to try to get... And I was thinking that could be our new skit.
And just old
referee. The old referee with like a walker trying to spot the ball.
That's a good
be skit. Hilarious, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because, that was the same game that we got into the fight. And like that's probably why they were so slow to break it up because everybody, like... I mean, that lineman that ran from, like, probably the 30 or the 40 to the end zone, you know, it probably took the refs 20 more seconds to get to that same position to be like, hey. And I remember they stopped the game. We didn't kick the extra – or they didn't kick the extra point. I guess there wasn't an extra point. There was still time on the clock, I think. There was, like, 1 or 2 seconds left, but they ran it off because it's like, you know
–
why would they do that? It's a JV football game at the end of the day. That was a good pull. That was funny. Any other football stuff you want
to
touch on?
So when you went to SAC, did they have the thing at the first practice where they asked you what position you wanted to play, or how did that work?
I think so. I can't remember specifically.
Did you do what Dad told you?
Be a lineman.
No, he would be like, I'll play anywhere, coach.
Oh, I guess, yes, that is what he said.
Yeah.
But play anywhere means you're going to be a fucking lineman.
Pretty much.
Yeah, play anywhere means you're going to be a lineman.
Yeah, but I remember I did try to go with the receivers.
Did you?
And I didn't last very long.
How'd that go?
Was fucking, they were screaming at me, and then after probably like 2 or 3 routes, they were like, all right, you're going over there.
Like you're gonna go with the other fatties.
Pretty much.
You're gonna go with all the other kids that pick their nose and have 3 nipples.
It was rough too because from the minute I was started watching football, I wanted to do was play receiver, and I couldn't do it. Wasn't in the cards. Listen,
that's funny. I had a fat hairy Mexican friend named Arturo, and he played football a little bit. He played in middle school, And that was like in high school. He was like, I'm going to play football. And it's like he never, I think he like went to, he did like a double day and then stopped playing.
I think I remember like, because we used to hang out and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I'm taking shots at him or whatever, but I remember.
I just called him a fat, hairy Mexican, so yeah. Go ahead.
But I just remember hanging out with, but I do remember. He was like one of those guys where he was like, fuck practice. I just want to show up to the games. Yeah. That's not going to fly.
And I remember, it's weird. He didn't go to like the double days or the practices, but something that he always went to, like, and he would go to it consistently. I think like sophomore year to senior year, he would always show up to the like to the spring practices in the morning, and he would always, and this guy was not a small man. He was big. He was like 250 in like as a sophomore, and he's like, I'm gonna be a receiver. He's like, since I dominate in backyard football against other people that are fat and unathletic and hairy,
I'm gonna be a receiver
against all these other fast fucks. I remember when you were playing like your first season of like seventh grade football and I was in like fifth grade. Yeah. I mean, there's a picture of us both in our football gear, and like we would like do tackling drills in the backyard, and I remember you would just fucking lay the lumber on me back in the day, and I would just start crying. And there's a video of Dad like talking to me like, you're gonna keep crying, you're not gonna be playing football. And I'm like, ah. And then you just keep laying the licks on me. And that was like the last time I let you get me.
Yeah, I do remember it. I don't feel ashamed admitting this, but it did become a time where like you got like, were taking it seriously, and I had no shot. I was like, all right, you got it.
Well, that was like, I know, I think after I started crying, and Dad's like, can't cry, be good. I think after that, I flipped the switch, and I was like, and Trey's like, whoa, man, I'm just here for fun. Yeah. Exactly. You're like, why are you so serious?
Yeah.
That was like the thing. I hated when Trey was better than me at something. I think that's just like a brother thing. But like, I think I told this story on the podcast already before, but I remember you beat me at a game of Madden one time, and I just grabbed you by your throat.
Yeah.
And I was like, you motherfucker, you beat me at Madden. And you're like, it's just a game. It's not that serious. I'm like, this is more than life. This is Madden 11. I used both of my rewinds, and you still beat me. Those are some decent stories. I don't think Mom and Dad could get mad at that.
Nope.
But, you know, a little bit more tame stuff. I think wrestling is really where the raunchiness comes in, kind of where I got most of my personality was during wrestling.
So for people that don't know, a wrestling locker room, or I guess the wrestling culture, is very different than you would say from a high school football element.
Yeah, I think they're more comfortable, and it's more like, I don't know, it's kind of like a fraternity.
Yeah.
I think once you're in it, you're in it, and like, you know the rules, you know, like, how to conduct yourself, because like if you don't conduct yourself, and it may be different now, I'm sure it is, because like everything's different now, but back in the day, if like you didn't adhere to a certain, I guess, rule, or if you like acted like you were hot shit, you didn't follow the rules, like you'd get the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah.
And like, you know, there was some things that you'd have to live by. I remember you know, one of these things was like, you just had to be respectful. And like, if you weren't respectful, you got a wake up call real quick. There was one kid that just wasn't respectful one time. And, his whole thing was, oh, I'm going to make weight or whatever. And this is just a JV wrestler. He's like, I'm going to make weight, you know, no problem. Yeah. We stop at a gas station. He gets like two burritos, a chili cheese corn dog, fucking Mike and Ike's, and two Dr. Peppers, and a senior on the team's like, it's like, what's your weight? And he's like, oh, don't worry about it, I'm fine. Everybody gets in their underwear and weighs in the bathroom every trip, no matter how close you are to weight. He didn't do that. Yeah. He's like, that's gay. I'm not doing that. That's gay.
Yeah.
You know, that's on you, dude. That's on you. And then we get to the meet, and he finally weighs himself. He's 4 pounds overweight. And it's like, well, no shit.
Yeah.
And he gets in a sweatsuit. The best wrestler on the team is his partner and just beats the fucking piss out of him.
Yeah.
And it's like out of love. Like, you know, he's not he's not going out there like, you know, punching him, you know, kicking the, you know, physically hurting him. This is wrestling. This isn't within the limits.
Yeah.
Makes him put like sweatpants on, tapes it, sweatshirt. We're in the venue and he's just taking him down, like not letting him breathe, like just freaking on his ass. Yeah. He gets done with like a 2-hour thing with this kid. He lost 9 pounds.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Yeah, let's get into some, because I know there's definitely some good wrestling stories you have in the pike.
There are some good bits here. One time, senior year, you talk about double days. I skipped out on double days one time. Or no, a lot. Actually, that's a lie. I skipped out on a lot of double days. He had a special ed kid on the team.
Okay, yeah, I was hoping you would get to some of his stories, because his stories were hilarious.
Yeah, we had a special ed kid on the team, and he would come to these wrestling trips, these overnight days, with, like, these fucking sandwich bags filled with, like, Adderall, muscle relaxers, fucking all these pills. You know, it was like he was, like, a drug dealer. And, like, ever since, like, freshman year, kids would come up to him and be like, you want to give me some of those muscle relaxers? And then kids would just take this poor autistic kid's fucking muscle relaxers that he needed to sleep. And he would be like, and it's like his mom knew kids were taking them. Because it would literally be like a gallon Ziploc bag full of muscle relaxers. And everybody took them. And by the end of it, he was completely dusted out. And, yeah, I mean, it was just weird. Like, with the muscle relaxers. And then back then, the big thing that everybody did was this thing called eye dozers. And all that was like, you listen to the sound and you close your eyes. And apparently it, like, either made you high, made you talk, did these sort of things. And that shit was so bullshit. None of that stuff worked. Yeah. But then all these kids on the wrestling team that did it would just, like, either pretend to be high afterwards or be like, dude, I tripped so hard. I freaking met God, Bob Marley, and fucking Michael Jordan. How does that make sense? He's still alive? I don't know. But, you know, they would just make up all these bullshit lies about what they saw from these eye dozers.
Yeah.
Stupid. Made no sense. Yeah, and then we used to have to pass this hydration test for weight certification, and I never had to worry about that because I always wrestled up. I never cut weight. I knew I would hate that. I hate not eating. I hate, you know, not being able to sleep.
Yeah.
So I would always just wrestle up from where I was.
Yeah.
But I had never had a problem helping everybody else on the team, and so like almost everybody on the team would ask me to pee in these like little ass tiny toothpaste bottles, and I'd come in before practice, just pee in these toothpaste bottles. And what they would do is they'd put these toothpaste bottles under their nutsack, so like it'd keep the pee warm all day, and they'd keep my piss under their nutsack all fucking day. And just like as soon as the hydration test came around, they would just dump my piss in there. So, like, one of the kids that I had talked about earlier, not the fat one, but the aggressive one. And, like, dude, he would have been so great at all the sports he did if he just never... And he's, like, literally one of those kids. If it wasn't for my knee. Like, literally, he's one of those kids. If it wasn't for his fucking knee, he would have been insane.
Yeah.
But, like, if it wasn't for his knee, he would have been probably, like, a 4-time state champ wrestler, D1 football player. Like, crazy good.
Yeah.
And I always helped him out. And he really always wanted to cut weight and be like at the smallest position, even though he was like a huge football player.
Yeah.
And I remember he wanted to wrestle 170 one year, and he was 215 pounds heading into the season. And I'm like, dude, there's no fucking way you can get down there. And he's like, just pissing this thing for me. And I did. And he got down there. He got down there, dude. He lost all that weight, wrestled 170, then just tore his ACL again. But, you know, you always got to help the boys out where you can. We had a kid on the team named Alaska, and he literally couldn't read.
Oh, I remember.
And we would make him read. And we'd make him read, and we'd quiz him on how to spell words. and he couldn't do any of that.
It's kind of fucked up.
It was so so fucking funny. We were in middle school and this kid was wrestling, and we had to do like introductions. For each other, you know, and everybody's like, oh, I'm this and this. I'm like, oh, I'm Trevin. I'm a first year wrestler. Yeah. And this kid, super crazy, autistic kid, gets the mic and he goes, my name is Dylan and I have a huge penis.
And everyone just starts laughing. Yeah.
Or no, he didn't even say that. He said his gamer tag. He said, my name is MLG Alcatraz and I have a huge penis.
Yeah, that's hilarious that he started doing Gundam style.
Yeah,
live at a wrestling match.
He did. I remember he only wrestled a couple of matches, and like one of them he lost, and he was like squealing like a pig. And the other one, the match started, and he just freaking hit
that, and then he got pinned real quick.
I wrestled one kid, and he was hairy as shit. He was wearing a Superman shirt, and he was just staring me down because he knew I was wrestling him, and everybody was giving me shit. He was doing push-ups before he was wrestling me. And everybody's like, oh, you got Superman. You got Superman. And to be honest, I was a little, it's a little nerve-wracking wrestling those kind of kids. Cause you're like, what if I lose? Like, you know, cause like, you don't want to lose unless you're losing on purpose.
Yeah.
But I ended up beating him. But Trey, any final words on this podcast?
All right. So I'm recording this video because somehow
you missed the most anticipated moment of the show.
Treyisms. Now how can you have the TNT podcast without the Treyisms? That's what I want to know. Anyways, I'm making this video so that he can include it finally so that the five people that watch us are going to have Treyisms to watch because I am indeed a man of the people. I recently found out that I had a court date, but the court date was postponed because it has reached the statue of aspirations. Well, with all this podcast stuff, I am just really tired of just beating around the woods. I have been known to be wrong a few times in my life, but, you know, sometimes you're right. You know what they say, a broken fox is sighted twice a day, and that is another Treyism that didn't actually make the cut, so Treeb's hearing this for the first time. I wonder if he'll like it or what have you. I got two more Treyisms real quick, and then we can go ahead and get out of here. But, you know, with this first podcast, with, you know, getting interviews and stuff, it is very important that we set the cones early and often. We are definitely the ones that are going to be setting the cones. I'm gonna end off on a banger here. So, it is definitely important when... God. Alright, we're back. Forgot again. I only had one thing to remember and I messed it up. But this time, Treeb, I remembered. So hopefully I'm not messing up your editing too bad. So when people ask me, you know, am I playing a character? Am I really the way that I present myself? And what I have to say to that is that your guess is as good as a dime. And that's where I'm going to lead off for the Treyisms. Nah, let's get to the fucking second podcast in a row.
In a row, are you ready?
It's a marathon, yes.
All right.
I'm ready.
I think this was a decent one. We had some good stories. Alrighty, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. Tune in to the next one. Have a great rest of your day.